Psalm 23. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord today, don't you? And thank the Lord for all He's done. Psalm 23, please. And you find your place there in the Word of God. Do pray for Brother Larry this morning. He's away preaching. And so you be praying for him. And I pray God use him, Lord will, and he'll be back in the service tonight. But you be much in prayer for him. Psalm 23. And we've been digging around this psalm the last two or three services. And I felt led to go back here today. And so you be much in prayer for us while we try to preach today. Psalm 23, if you're willing and physically able to do so, if you'll join us by standing for the honor and reverence of the Word of God. Psalm 23, and we'll read these six verses together. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let the church say amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Here in Psalm 23, we note that as we have the last two or three messages, that Psalm 23 is one of the most popular and well-known psalms throughout the 150 psalms. I was reading this morning once again, and we know that David wrote 73 to 75 of these psalms, and possibly even more. And we know, and some of this introduction I've given the other messages, but just to lay a little bit of groundwork, we know that Psalm 23 lies in between two prophetical psalms. Psalm 22, you have Mount Calvary, and then Psalm 24, you have Mount Zion, which is when He comes back to rule and reign as the King over this earth in the millennial reign of Christ. But right in between those two mountains is a valley there in Psalm 23. And don't miss the simplicity of this. I'm glad there are two mountains for every valley. Amen. You'll get a hold of that one of these days. There's always, for every one valley you go through, there's two mountains, praise God. And I'm glad we serve a God who is God on the mountaintop. And I'm glad we learn in Psalm 23 that He is God in the valley. In Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you have three pictures of Christ. Psalm 22, you have the cross. Psalm 23, you have the crook, which is that shepherd's staff. And Psalm 24, you have the crown. Psalm 22, there's grace. Psalm 23, there's guidance. Psalm 24, there's glory. Psalm 22, there's provision. Psalm 23, there's protection. And Psalm 24, there is prospect. Psalm 22, there's substitute. Psalm 23, there's the shepherd. And Psalm 24, there's the sovereign. Psalm 22, there's yesterday. Psalm 23, there's today. And Psalm 24, there's forever, praise God. In Psalm 22, we find the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, we find the great shepherd who guides and guards and provides for the sheep. And then in Psalm 24, we find the glorious shepherd, the chief shepherd, as he returns to rule and reign and to reward the sheep. Psalm 22, you have a hand that is scarred and stained with blood. Psalm 23, you have a hand that is there to sustain the sheep. And Psalm 24, you have a hand that is sovereign over Satan. Well, glory. Psalm 23, the shepherd is on a cross and he took care of my past. Psalm 23, the shepherd is our companion and he takes care of my present. And Psalm 24, the shepherd is the conqueror and he takes care of my future. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Glory to God. That'll make a Presbyterian kick the back end of the choir robe out. Somebody say amen. Psalm 22, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, and it pictures the crucifixion of Christ. Psalm 24, He's the chief shepherd, He's the King coming in power and glory. But Psalm 23, He is the great shepherd. Amen. I was reading, Mr. Andrew Telford made this statement. The remarkable thing about the 23rd Psalm is that it's everybody's psalm. The little child learns it at his mother's knee. The youth seeks its wisdom in the hours of temptation and uncertainty. And the aged quote it with quivering lips as the angel of death approaches. I'm glad it's a psalm for everybody. Now in this psalm, we divide it up into two sections, verses 1, 2, and 3. You got one sheep sticking his head through the fence telling another sheep how great the shepherd is. And then in verse 4, 5, and 6, you got a sheep telling the shepherd how great the shepherd is. Amen. I was reading last night and I come across this. If we consider Psalm 23 as a personal testimony, which I believe it could be, David is saying, believe me, the Lord is my shepherd. Beside me are the still waters. Beneath me are the green pastures. Before me is a table prepared. Between me and home lies the valley of the shadow of death. Behind me is goodness and mercy. And beyond me is the house of the Lord forever. Layman Sharp said, there's a divine person, the Lord. There's a divine possession, is my shepherd. There's a divine promise, I shall not want. There's divine peace, he leadeth me. He leadeth me beside, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's divine prosperity, he restoreth my soul. There's divine presence, thou art with me. There's a divine pledge or protection, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's divine provision, thou prepare prepares a table. There is divine power, thou anointest my head with oil. There is divine plenty, my cup runneth over. There is divine preservation, goodness and mercy. There is a divine prospect, I will dwell. And there is a divine permanence, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, thank God. As I gave the illustration last week of the eloquent actor that got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and he quoted it with such elegance and with such authority and got every word pronounced it just correctly. Pretty much the opposite of the way I quoted it. Somebody say amen. And he quoted it just right on. But then the old preacher stood up and he quoted that psalm. And somebody said, what's the difference between the two? And that actor said, I know the psalm, but that old time preacher knows the shepherd. Can I say this morning? We know this psalm. Probably most of us could stand up and quote it by heart today. And boy, that's a wonderful thing. I encourage you to commit those verses to memory. I'm glad we know the psalm, but I'm more interested in knowing the shepherd of this psalm. See, we can quote it all day long and it not change our life. But honey, if we'll meet up with the shepherd of Psalm 23, Psalm 22, and Psalm 24, it'll change our life. It'll make a difference in the way we walk. It'll make a difference in the way we talk. It'll make a difference in the way we conduct our lives. I'm glad I know the psalm, but as the choir sang today, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Last week we dealt with verse 1. Sunday morning we dealt with this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. We said there is prominence in that phrase. There is position in that phrase. And there is passion in that phrase. Sunday night we dealt with the phrase, I shall not want. We said that phrase gives us three ideas: sufficiency, security, and satisfaction. I'm telling you, anybody meets up with Jesus, you know what happened to that woman? She went to the well that day to draw water. She had her water pot, but honey, she left her water pot at the well and left with the well inside of her. You see, anybody that ever meets Jesus is satisfied. Psalm 107, I'm trying to get to my text, but I'm getting hung up. Psalm 107 said, he satisfies the longing of their soul. You see, when every man, woman, boy, and girl are born on this earth, they are born with a hole in their heart. No, it's not a physical hole. It is a spiritual hole. And people take liquor and try to fill that hole and it doesn't work. They'll take drugs to put in that hole and it does not work. They'll take religion and try to put it in that hole to make up that void in their life and it does not work. And the reason it does not work is because that place in their heart was cut out for one person and one person alone. Only one person can satisfy the longing of their soul. And as a 5-year-old boy, I knelt in the back of a Sunday school room on Osment Road in Cleveland, Tennessee. And Jesus stepped in my heart and he fixed that void in my life. He fit right in. And in fact, he fit so good, I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Well, I didn't come to say that, but I sure enjoyed hearing myself say that. Somebody say amen. So in this Psalm 23, we've looked at verse 1. Sunday night, we dealt a little bit also with verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, a shepherd has to make the sheep lay down because the sheep have no idea of how long they can go. And the shepherd knows what lies ahead. He knows in their own strength they ain't going to make it, so He'll make them lie down. And I'm glad God sees what I can't see, and God can look beyond where I'm going today. He knows He'll need a little more rest. He'll need a little more grace. I'm glad the shepherd knows. But then He leadeth me beside the still waters, and we stated that is provision. How God will take you by those, how them sheep, they won't drink out of running water. How that shepherd is so meticulous, and he is so specific. He'll find a place where there's still water so the sheep can drink. And if it's not a place of still water, He'll dam up a place in the creek so the sheep can come by and get a cool drink. And one writer said that, in fact, the writer was Mel Austin. I had the official Mel Austin study Bible. His family was so gracious to give him one of his old Bibles, and honey, he took notes. I mean, notes on every page. So I call that the official Mel Austin study Bible. You can't agree with everything in there, but you got to laugh at some of it. Somebody say amen. And I was reading, I wanted to see what he had wrote down about Psalm 23, and he wrote one word on Psalm 23. That didn't help me out much, but when I realized where it was at, it made sense. Next where it said still waters, it said deep. Still waters are deep waters. And I'm glad when you get in there with God, it gets real deep. I hope I get an amen. Still water is a picture of the Word of God. And honey, it's deep. You get a splash around in there, you'll get deeper. It ain't shallow. Especially that gospel, it ain't shallow, honey. It's deeper. I'm telling you, the greatest minds of this world have looked at this Bible. They can't figure it all out. We've learned a little bit, but we don't know everything about this Bible. In fact, this Bible is not everything that God knows, but it's everything He wants us to know. And I'm telling you, we'll think we got one thing figured out, and something else will pop up out of the page. You know why? Because this Bible's alive. It is the living Word. I'm trying to get to verse 3. I'm having a hard time. I'm glad we have a living Word of God. It birthed me into the family of God. Thank God for those still waters that run deep. Thank God. Now, see if I can get to verse 3. We've dealt, that's review. For all y'all who weren't here last week, that's what you missed out on, alright? Wednesday night, we read the psalm and we preached Miss Janice's outline that she had gave me on characteristics of a sheep. How they have no defense, how they can't find food, how they're always fighting for position and jealousy and envy. And I said, boy, don't that sound like a Baptist church? Yeah. Well, three people agreed with that. I know it's the truth whether you say amen or not. And so that's what we dealt with Wednesday night. But the Lord has brought us back here to deal with four words this morning. And they're found in verse 3. We're not even going to get all verse 3 done this morning. I want to deal with this phrase this morning. He restoreth my soul. Four words. What truth? Considering this word restoreth, it means to renew or to bring back to a place once enjoyed. Now, when I think about this phrase here, he restoreth my soul, I can't help but think about Luke chapter 15. Jesus gathers those publicans, them sinners around, the Pharisees around, and he spake to them a parable saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? We have found, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoice. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. As I see those little four words, he restoreth my soul, I think about this parable in Luke 15. So we're going to go back and forth, if that's all right. I want to say three things about this phrase. I'm preaching on the subject, by the way. He restoreth my soul. Number one, I want to say a word, first of all, three things about the straying of the sheep. The straying. You see, in order for a sheep to have need of restoration, he has to stray. Now, can I back that up? He don't have to stray. You realize you don't have to walk away from God? You don't have to stray away from God? It's your choice. I was in a meeting the other day and a Calvinist got up and was preaching. I knew he's a hyper-Calvinist. I've heard him preach. I've heard him make statements of that. And he said, and he made a statement I agree with. He said, you can't make Jesus Lord. He's already Lord. And I agree with that. But then he made this statement. He said, you just got to decide whether you're going to let him rule your life or you're going to reject him. And I text my dad during the service, you're not supposed to text during church. Don't do that. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I texted him. I said, sounds like a choice. You have a choice whether or not you're going to live for God.
Amen.
Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Here's one we might all be acquainted with, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. You see, I got to thinking and got to praying and meditating over this yesterday about what causes a sheep to stray. I'm going to give you four things. Some of them are reasons that physical sheep do stray, but not all of them. Some of them are why spiritual sheep stray. Can I give you four reasons real quick? Number one, distance from the other sheep. You know, this is a fact. Sheep, by nature, are sociable animals. They like being around other sheep. In fact, they travel together in a flock, if you would. You see, sheep don't have packs. Wolves have packs. A sheep is a flock. By the way, Jesus don't deal with goats. He only deals with sheep. Old preacher I love dearly, Brother LeVon Boatner, was preaching, and he was preaching about the subject how Jesus don't deal with goats, he only deals with sheep. He said, I was in a meeting one night, and a preacher's friend said, oh God, would you come in this service tonight and dehorn some goats? He said, uh-oh. God don't dehorn goats, he deals with sheep.
Amen.
You wasn't a goat when you was lost, you was a lost sheep. Think about it now, lost sheep, found sheep, that's where you're at today. Amen. That's not popular, but I ain't preaching to be popular. I'm preaching to be right. Amen. So this distant from them, they got to be around other sheep. They like that. They like that. Here's a good word. Fellowship. But they tell us, I read yesterday, they tell me that, and I don't know who they is, but they said it. They tell me that when a sheep gets to be a lone sheep, gets away from the other sheep, kind of distance himself, he's more prone to stray and he's more subject to attack from the enemy. And if that is true with physical sheep, how much more is that true with spiritual sheep? Do you realize when God saves you, He puts you in a family? We sing, I'm in the family of God. Then why are we always fussing and fighting? Well, we are family. Here's a good verse. The Bible said, forbearing one another. In other words, you put up with one another. How many of you got somebody in your family you can't stand? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you might be that person. If you're like, man, I'm good with everybody, you might be the one, all right? I mean, it's just, and it's not they're a bad person, it's just that it's like fingernails on a chalkboard, you know? I know it's on live stream, I got an uncle like that. I do. He ain't gonna watch this. I guarantee at Christmas when I see him, hey man, how you doing? I'm sick. That man's been sick for 60 years and never went to the hospital. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, we all just got somebody like that. But you know what? I'll hug his neck at Christmas because I know he ain't sick. He ain't going to give me nothing. I mean, I want to tell him, man, if I was that sick, I'd just go lay down in the casket somewhere. I mean, you just always like that. Here's my point. We forbear one. You know why? We got something in common. We're in the same family. Here's the point. If a sheep physically and spiritually gets to straying away from the flock and they gets out there on their own, like they're the Lone Ranger or something, this ain't a Lone Ranger affair. You know when Elijah got in trouble when he went and hid himself, when God didn't tell when he was running from Jezebel? He said, well, I'm the only one that's serving you, God. God said, no, I got 7,000. Where you been? You're not the only one trying to serve God. But I'm telling you, when you isolate yourself, when you pull back from people, you are apt, listen to me now, you are apt to stray away from the shepherd. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm just not a sociable person. You don't have to be sociable to have friends. You just have to be friendly. There's a difference between being sociable and being friendly. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm not outgoing. Didn't say you had to be outgoing. Said it had to be friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I love it in a Baptist church when nobody shook my hand. Well, you know how to fix that? You go shake somebody's hand. Ain't that brilliant? Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand this morning. Well, if you would have, well, you didn't shake mine. I might not even come back tonight. Now, you laugh at when I say that, but why is it okay for you to do that? Come on now. I realize I'm the only one who gets a check to come here. I understand that. But I'm telling you, the Bible said a friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. But if you get this lone ranger mentality that you're just going to stick off yourself and you're not going to be around, I'm telling you, you are apt to stray away from the shepherd. That don't mean you have to like everybody. You just got to love them. I know that's different. You just got to love them. Can I let you know, I've been in meetings with some preachers I did not like. Don't look at me like that. You got people sitting on your pew you don't like. At least none of mine are here. I know what they've done to people. I know how they've lied, cheated, stealing. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about preachers. I asked one a few months ago. You know what I done? Went over and hugged his neck and told him I loved him. Now, I don't like him. Don't look at me like that. You just as wicked as I am. I don't like what he's doing for the cause of Christ. I don't like he's going contemporary, but I told him I loved him. You know why? He's my brother. And here's what Jesus said. He said, this how, show me, I may not get off this point. I feel like I'm striking some oil right here. He said, by this shall men know you, my disciples, by the love that you have for the brethren. Didn't say by how loud you can preach, and I believe in preaching loud. You don't have to hear me alone to know that I believe in that. It didn't say by how loud you pray, and I think you ought to pray. It said by the love that you have for the brethren. I think I'm just going to center in right here. When you distance yourself from the people of God and from the church of the living God, you are apt to stray away from the shepherd. I guarantee, I can't prove it, but Brother Sanford, I can't help but wonder before Judas went astray if he got a little secluded. We do know he left the Last Supper early. But watch those people that come in right as it starts and leave right as it's over. God just gave me that right there. He left early. He left after the foot washing, probably the greatest service that anybody could ever be in when the Lamb of God got down at their feet and washed their feet. And he walked out after it was walked out before anybody else did. Somebody said, well, I'm just not, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is centering this in. I've got seven more pages. But I'm telling you, if you start distancing yourself from the sheep, eventually you'll distance yours. What you're doing, you're distancing yourself from the shepherd is what you're doing. You see, the problem is there's so many egos. Not ego, waffles. Egos. Bobby was saying about waffles, egos. Egos. I think there's two G's in ego. I don't know. We buy great value, so I wouldn't know. Everybody know what great value? Walmart, praise God. Yeah, and they don't spell it right. It's not a great, that's exactly right. We got so many egos, and so many personalities, and what's the word I'm looking for? Junk? Pride? Bible said, only by pride cometh contention. I'm getting to this in the psalm, but that said, thou anointest my head with oil. A good shepherd. Y'all right? You know what a shepherd do if two sheep are fighting? They're butting heads. Eventually, they're so dumb, they're going to hurt each other. Sounds like Baptist, don't it? So you know what a shepherd will do? He'll take oil and pour on both the heads of the sheep that are fighting. Think about this now. Proven fact. Philip Keller wrote about it. Shepherds look at the 23rd Psalm. He said, the reason I do that, when the sheep go to butt their heads, they slide off. And nobody gets hurt. Why don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Why don't you get that oil on your head? That way if somebody does come up and try to start something with you, they just slide right off of you. Whatever. You don't like me? Praise God, I'll be back tonight with a double load. Didn't shake my hand? Praise God, I'm going to go shake three extra people's hands just tonight just to say hallelujah. Because I want to have the shepherd's blessing. I don't want to stray. I'm prone to wander already. The songwriter said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It is in our nature to stray away from God. It is our nature to walk away from God. I'm telling when you, I know some of y'all think I'm missing it, but the Holy Ghost is saying, keep on preaching, so I'm going to keep on preaching this point. We'll get to the rest of it tonight, the good Lord willing. Here's what I want to drive home this morning. Our church, we need to learn how to love each other. I'm going to be very transparent. I sat down with Brother McNeese when he preached on revival with us back in July, and I was sitting there eating breakfast with him. For some reason, he likes eating at Wink's Barbecue for breakfast. We went there like every morning. He got the same thing every morning. I mean, that man can eat. No wonder he's a big preacher. In both ways. Amen. That's why he hates me so much. I'm so skinny. But I asked preachers this that I have great admiration for. Now, Don't look weird when I say this. Let's listen to me. Keep your open heart. I said, preacher, what you think of my church? What you think of our church? He said, good singing, good preaching. He said, but here's what your church needs to learn how to do. He said, they may already. He said, but they need to learn how to love one another.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And that bothered me when he said that. I'm like, we have snot hugging services at least once a month. But it's easy to go through the motions when somebody comes to you and makes you do it. Foot washing is not a church ordinance. Somebody say amen. There's only two church ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Brother Sanford, it probably wouldn't hurt some of us to have a good old-fashioned foot washing. You realize the night that Jesus washed the disciples' feet? My daddy's got a message on this, and I might feel led to steal it. I'm going to preach it like I stole it, praise God. He said he washed all the disciples' feet. That means he washed Peter's feet, the denier. The one who in just a few hours, would say, I don't even know him. Would curse and say, I don't even know the man. Jesus washed his feet. He washed the doubter's feet, Thomas. I will not believe unless I stick my finger in the wounds and thrust my hand in his side. And he washed the feet of the deceiver, Judas. He washed the feet of the devoted, old John. Here's the point. I know Jesus was 100% God, okay? I understand that. On the human side, it's probably easy to wash John's feet. He loves me. He's got his head on my bosom. And Jesus knows all things, Brother Sanford. And I understand he's 100% God, 100% man. But in my flesh, I'd say, boy, I'd have had a hard time washing Judas's feet. Knowing what he was fixing to do. It's easy to wash John's feet, but we have a hard time washing Judas's feet. You know why God put that Judas in front of you with a pan of water? For you to wash his feet. How did we get here? I'm talking about when we distance ourselves. The Bible said, John chapter 13, by this shall men know you are, let me just read it to you. A new commandment I give unto you that ye love, hold on, a commandment. That don't sound like an option. That don't sound like a, if you feel like it. A commandment I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. He said, I want you to take the love that I've shown you and show it to one another. Y'all right? By this, by what? By the love you have one for another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Let me just read some more Bible. We're not going to finish my outline this morning. We'll come back tonight. Let me read you another verse. The Lord sent us in here. We're just going to follow it. Is that all right?
Amen.
I'm looking for a verse. And I want to try to find it. I didn't write it down in my notes. I wasn't planning on going in this direction. I know it's in 1 John. Here we go. I think this is it. I'm trying to, 1 John chapter. He's talking about love. Talking about having the love for the brethren. It's in, I know where it's at in the Scofield Bible. I'm just trying to find it in the Cambridge Bible. I think it's 1 John. Let me see if I find it. Y'all all right? Just hang on a minute. I'm trying to find this verse. I'm looking for, if you love not your brother, the same as a liar. Somebody help me if you find it. It'd help if I read my Bible, wouldn't it? 2:4? Thank you, sir. Here we go. No, that's not it. Talking about the love for the brethren. That's right. He is a liar if he keeps not his commandments. By the way, loving one another is a commandment. 3:15? Let's try that one. Here he is. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. All right, here it is. 14. Back up one more. We know, thank you. We know, listen now, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know why you don't have any joy in your life? You may not love your brother. You may not love your sister. I understand 1 John and 3 John. I know it's dispensational truths in this. I understand that. But look at verse 16. We've already read 15. 16. Hereby perceive we that we love God because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Thank you. I found it. With 10 people's help. Here's what I want to say. You might be straying away this morning. Because you've got distance from the other sheep. You've not been anointed like you should have been. I remember Dr. Bobby, I'm done right here. Dr. Bobby Robertson, he's my hero. I love Dr. Robertson. He'll be here in April next year. Preach for me. I told Dr. Robertson, you'll preach here until Jesus comes, as long as you're able. You'll preach here a couple nights every year. We love him. I tell this story often. I'm done right here. I tell this story often. He said that Brother Robert said he was riding down the road with Brother Lester Roloff. Can you imagine riding down the road? I've ate at Cracker Barrel with the man who rode in the car with Lester Roloff down the road. That's pretty cool. He said that we was riding, me and Brother Roloff was riding down the road together. He said, and I was picking at him. He said, and I said something. He said, after I said it to Brother Roloff, I thought, I shouldn't have said that. He said, I was just picking with him. He said, Brother Roloff, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. He said, Brother Roloff, I wouldn't hurt you for anything in this world. He said, Brother Bobby, if you hurt me, it's not your fault. It's my fault. Because I'm supposed to be dead. And you can't hurt a dead man. Let's go down here to Palaces this morning and find their newest attraction. And I say that, I don't mean that wrong, but it's where everybody goes to the funeral home for, to see the person in the casket. Walk up to that fella, lay in that casket. I don't like you. I think you're the sorriest rascal in this town. I think you're just a liar and a cheat and a scoundrel. Don't bother him. You know why? He's dead. So why are you getting all tore up? You ain't anointed and you ain't dead. I'm telling you, and we'll finish this up tonight because this is where the Lord's telling me to bring her to a close. Sheep have to have other sheep. That is a scientific, zoological, is that a word? Them people that study animals, that's a fact. Sheep have to have sheep. I know sheep have to have the shepherd. That's understandable. But they have to have each other. They band together. The reason they band together is because together the enemy's not as prone to come in. But when that one gets out there on its own, that's when the wolf, that's when the lion, that's when the bear, that's when the enemy gets his eyes set on that one. That's the one he's going after. I guarantee you he ain't going after that one that's right in the middle of it all. That's why I want to stay with the people of God. Amen. That's why I want to stay. I want to stay right in the middle of it. I need you. And whether you want to admit it or not, you need me. That person you're crossways with, you need them and they need you. So much contention, so much fighting. Growing up, me and my sister fought because we hated one another. Well, I mean, you know, we tolerate each other now, and that's a mutual feeling. She'll tell you the same. She's standing here, she'll tell you the same thing. But we can call each other, hit each other, call each other's names, but nobody else can do that. You know how that is. But one thing I do remember, when we'd fight and argue, it upset Mom. When the kids would fight, it upset Mom. Dax and Sightler are now getting to that stage where they're, it's mine. And Sightler, he's a bully. He'll run up to Dax and just take things from him. And Dax, I said, son, one day you're going to realize you're bigger than him for right now. I told him, haul off and hit him. He'll quit it. I'm raising boys. I'm not raising sissies. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm buying them boxing gloves when they get old enough. I'm going to beat the devil out of one another. I'm raising boys. Amen. I ain't raising sissies. I'm telling you, when children fight, it upsets mama. Because they want their children who are family, who come out of, and I'm not saying, who come out of her womb, want them to get together. Even now, some of you parents, you've got adult children, they're crossways with one another, it hurts your heart. And if physically parents are like that, I wonder how it hurts the heart of God when His children, who were birthed in His family, washed in His blood, they can't get along. Here's what's going to happen. Two words we don't like to use. Some words we don't like to use. I think it's five words. I don't know. Yeah. Four or five words. Here's what we don't like to say. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I wasn't wrong. Well, tell me you was wrong anyway. We're good at shifting blame. You know how we do that? Ego. Ego. Whatever it is. Pride. We don't want to admit, and I'm going to look at you both, Sanford, because I know this, you like this, because some people, if I look at them, they'll think I'm talking to them, and the reason they think I'm talking to them is because I'm talking to them.
Right.
Pretty deep, ain't it?
Yeah, that's good.
But the reason we shift the blame, because we want to feel good about ourselves. We don't like that feeling of, oh, I was wrong.
It's true. It's flesh.
It's exactly right. It's the flesh. By this, all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Well, that wasn't my message. That was the Lord's message this morning. We got one sub-point in. Hopefully, the rest of them won't take as long. We'll be here till Christmas. But that'd be all right if that's what the Lord wants. I'd rather have God's message than have my message. We need to learn how to love one another. Linda, can you get Sightler? So Grayson coming to the piano, I hadn't planned on doing that, but we need to switch up. I just want to do something else, but I just don't feel like what I was going to do would be appropriate. I want to follow the Holy Ghost. So I said, well, it's Sunday morning, I ain't going to get nothing right today. Ding, 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 pride, contention. Don't want nobody to know that I made a mistake. I got news for you. We've all done people wrong, and we've all been done wrong. Some of you don't get that. We have all done somebody wrong. Well, I can't think of nobody. Here's one. Jesus Christ. You nailed Him to a cross. You beat Him. You mocked Him. You nailed Him to a tree. I didn't do it. Your sins did. So we've all done somebody wrong. And we've all been done wrong. I don't mean to sound cruel. Well, ooh la la, that's life. Sometimes you have to build a bridge and get over some things. Because until you get that right, you won't have any joy. You won't have any peace. I'm preaching on thin ice right now, Brother Steve. We might have to fight our way out this morning, but it'll be all right. I'm telling you this morning, we need to learn how to love one another. I don't want to hurt the Father's heart. I ain't getting nothing right. Okay, that's fine. You're going to abide in death. Oh, you're saved. Woo, you're going to heaven, but you ain't going to enjoy it. Hey, I know what it's like to be hurt. Join a club. I'm not trying to be cruel. We've all been hurt. If you hadn't been hurt, it's because you ain't been around long enough or you lying. Remember, we've all done somebody wrong and we've all been done wrong. So what do? We build a bridge, the cross, and we get over some things and we live in victory and say, yeah, some things happen, but by God's grace, it's under the blood, we're going to go on for the glory of God. Amen. Church won't see revival. We won't see a move of God unless we have love one for another. That's the Lord's message. Let's stand together. She begins to play softly. These altars are open. You mind the Lord if God's spoken to your heart.